from Tidbits on January 26th, 2009. This is the audio edition of The Mac Turns 25, Best Mac Ever? Written by Adam C. Angst. When my friends at Macworld called and asked me to contribute to their 25th anniversary issue, I jumped at the chance. Steve Jobs is so uninterested in the past that he had Apple's famous icon garden not only ripped out, but junked. I, on the other hand, find it instructive to pay attention to the past because it both informs where we are today and hopefully enables us to avoid repeating our mistakes. So when I asked the question of what the best Mac of all time is, I didn't have to think too hard. It's the Macintosh SE30. Despite Andy Anatko's sage comment that one's favorite Mac is one's first Mac, the SE30 was only my first Mac on the outside. It started life as an SE that Tanya and I later upgraded to an SE30 with a motherboard swap in 1990. My choice, shared by stalwarts John Gruber and John Siracusa, was not based on the fact that the SE30 can in any way compete with a modern Mac, which Charlie Sorrell seemed to think was relevant on Wired's Gadget Lab blog. It's painfully obvious the SE30 has nothing on any modern Mac. If the best Mac ever was simply the most powerful, it would merely be a competition between Apple's current models, and it would change as soon as a new Mac came out. Boring. No, the SE30 gets my nod as the best Mac ever for more subtle reasons. It offered, for the time, an amazing power of a combination of power, small size, and expandability, thanks to its 6830 processor and PDS expansion slot. It wasn't the first to be that fast or the most expandable. Both of those awards went to the Mac 2X. But it opened our eyes to the possibility that we could have a small Mac that made no compromises. The next Mac to do that for me was the PowerBook 100, which might be my runner-up for best Mac ever, thanks to what it showed was possible in a portable form factor. That expansion slot was key because it made multiple monitors an obvious and financially realistic option for many people. An SE30 with a video card and an external monitor was a lot cheaper than a Macintosh 2X with two video cards and two monitors. Attaching a second monitor is one of the easiest ways to increase productivity to this day, something that New York Times writers noted back in 2006 and again just a few weeks ago. Since that SE30, every one of my main Macs has had multiple monitors attached. Even after I stopped using the SE30 as my main Mac, the expansion slot kept it useful, since I was able to install an Ethernet card and use the SE30 for various web and mailing list server duties until 2001. Sure, a new Mac could have performed the SE30's tasks without difficulty, but I didn't have to buy one for that purpose, because the SE30 remained useful for over a decade, running continuously updated software the entire time. No other Mac I've owned has had such a lifespan, and with Apple ever more focused on getting us to upgrade frequently, I doubt any Mac will enjoy such longevity again. In short, then, the SE30 was a great package that offered a glimpse of what the Macintosh could be in the future, and then stuck around to watch that future come to life around it. And that's why I keep my SE30 around to this day in a bookshelf, where I can see the new Macs that trundle in and out of our offices and remind us of where we started. This is Tidbits. To follow links, make comments, read related articles, and subscribe via email, RSS, or Twitter, visit us at tidbits.com. I'm Adam Angst, and thanks for listening.